Blog Talk Radio.
How he do's it?
I don't know.
I don't think that's proper English.
No, I'm fairly sure it's not. Yeah. Alright, hello out there in Gamerland. It is Thursday, the 25th of October. It's almost Halloween, my favorite holiday. I'm Snow White. Yeah. We also have Ginger Rocks up in the hizzle. My little
redheaded
stepchild. Yeah, I hate that. I don't know why I did that.
follow.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really bad. We also have Master Blaster up in the house. He's been handling.
Yeah.
That sounds like a really bad orgasm. Anyway.
Or a really good orgasm, depending on how you look at it.
A really faked orgasm, maybe.
I always fake him 100% of the time. Sorry.
It's impossible for men to fake that, just so you know. Women, on the other hand, I'm fucking like, man, Shakespeare would be proud of the actor.
Get a little powder sauce, you know, and hide behind the covers. Oh, God!
Ew.
Fake it all the time.
Ew.
That's pretty nasty. Anyway, moving on before I gross myself out. Corey / Gaminatrix is not able to be with us today because she's handling her business. She's putting her thing down, cutting people.
That's a little TMI.
Yep. You know, she's cutting people left and right, pouring lemon juice, salt, you know, whatever she can, all up in the wounds. Yeah, boy.
We're following along behind with the salt.
Oh, well, she said she's in the chat room, but you can't hear her because, you know, her mouth is otherwise occupied. Well, we're not going to say how.
and you can kick Lucky Stars, that one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We're not going to go into why her mouth is all otherwise occupied, but she's going to cut me. I just know it.
I can just hear her.
Oh, she says, oh, no, wait, that's tomorrow. My bad. Her mouth will be occupied tomorrow. Yeah, so that's just the latest breaking news and the slutdom that is us. Anyway. What are we talking about tonight?
We're talking about games, right? I think.
Well, I hope so. Did you have something you wanted to bitch about on air? Because you've been bitching about it.
I want to say that if you cheat in an MMORPG, then you are the lowest life form on the face of this earth. I mean, I think that there are child predators that may be higher up on the list than you.
Don't go there.
Wow.
No, that was not a thing to say today. No.
Yeah. I don't know. I think these people are pretty low for cheating in an MMORPG. Seriously.
They are, and they deserve to be slapped in the face repeatedly with a, you know, giant stick with nails in it.
But, like, do you not have anything better to do in your life than to cheat at an MMORPG?
You know, and I say that, but I know when I played Dark Age Camelot and when I played Aeon, I had a bot program. But, of course, you know, I wasn't out, you know, screwing at the marketplace. I was out leveling. So... Hmm.
That's still cheating, yo.
It was. Dark Age of Camelot, I had, it was back during the day, this was like a keylogger type thing that I had, and it was awesome. And,
yeah.
Well, you'd like walk away and come back and you were a few levels higher or something?
Yeah. Yeah, me and the person that I played with, we had two, oh crap, I can't remember what they were, but they had all the little skeleton pets. And
I know what you're talking about. I had one. Yeah.
Well, no, it wasn't a warlock. It wasn't a warlock. But we
it wasn't
we
a necromancer
together.
Either, was it?
No. It wasn't the zombie pet. It was on Midgard, and they had... Oh, I can't even think what they were right now. But anyways, yeah, we'd have those two together, and we had it keylogged to where, you know, we had just the right amount of healers and just the right amount of tanks, and we'd go at it. Corey is probably telling me right now what the name is. Oh, no. No. She's threatening to cut us. Yeah, so, and then in Aeon, my bot was a crafting bot. It ran back and forth from the crafting table to the crafting trainer. and that's all it did. You, seriously?
That's really wrong. I'm sorry, Ginger, but I can't do the show with you anymore. I'm sorry.
I can honestly say I have never botted in any game. I haven't.
I did, and I'll own up to it.
No, correction. I did bot in Star Wars when I on my entertainer, but that was the only thing I've ever botted, and she was over in the corner by herself. That was the only thing I've ever botted, and that was because, can you imagine how boring it is to level an entertainer when no one wanted to talk to you unless you were the highest level?
Well,
that's true, yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, I quit MMOs that have bad design like that. Like, what was it, Final Fantasy 11 had a really bad design flaws that you would spend literally an hour and a half, 2 hours trying to get a group. If you were not the exact right class, there were five classes in particular that were perfect for grouping, mm-hmm. right? And so if you weren't one of those five classes, good luck finding a group. You'd sit for 2-3 hours, you get in a group, and they're like, oh, wait a minute, you're not such and such class, boot. And they boot you out of the group. And so and it only happened once you reached a certain level. You just couldn't get any further in that game. So I quit that game because it was just bad design. I mean, that's not what we're talking about here. Like, we're talking about like people trying to make money, like in fake money and spending like botting so they can make fake money. I mean, seriously, Auction House, there's a bunch of websites, a bunch of tools out there helping the Auction House. But at the end of the day, you have to press the buttons. Right, mm-hmm. But these people, I guarantee you, there's no human being pressing these buttons. It's just happening too fast, and it's happening too often. The sheer volume, it's ridiculous. I submitted a ticket tonight. First time I've ever submitted a ticket about anybody in the game. I know it may sound like I've got sad panda face.
Have sad panda face.
I do have sad panda face, but you know what? For a change, I don't feel guilty about having sad panda face. I think there's this time it's for a reason. Because it's not only is it affecting me, but I've talked to other people in my guild. And they're all like, oh, it's that guy. And, like, they all know who this guy is. And he always undercuts them. And it doesn't matter. He's got, I'm a leather worker and a skinner, right? And I'm getting undercut. And then a blacksmith over here is getting undercut by the same guy. The guy cannot have two professions like that, right? There's no way. So what he's doing is he's got some bot program out there that's undercutting, that's, like, buying people out at a certain level and then resetting everything to another level, right? And then he's undercutting people as they get close to that. I mean, it's just ridiculous. The sheer volume is it's nuts. Anyways. Not that kind of leather, Corey. Corey just took work to leather, baby, in the chat. Not that kind of leather. Anyways, I'm done, bitch.
Wow. Well, I started this week, or actually Saturday, because we did the Extra Life thing Saturday. I bought Guild Wars 2. Oh, my gosh.
How is that?
Beautiful. It's so pretty. You can play in the end game PvP from like level 1 and be competitive.
I don't think I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't agree with that either.
Well, they put you into the PvP zone and they give you the same amount of hit points. You're not going to have the same gear or whatnot. And you're going to have the same abilities. So you can go play in the end game PvP if you want. You're not going to be nearly as good, but you can go out there and have fun.
Oh, you know who did that too? Warhammer Online did that. Now, yeah, I've been there.
I don't agree with that. I don't think that's. You know, all it does is really frustrate people who think they're going to go in and do something good, and then all these people with all the better equipment and the skill that actually match their level. It's not well balanced at all.
I don't know. I was in there tearing it up. I loved it. Oh, my God. I was having so much. Seriously, hours and hours and hours. I'm just losing my life there because.
Literally. Especially when you get backstabbed.
God! Well, you know what? I play a ranger and I get in these little bitty areas that people, you know, they're too busy looking at the big group. They're not looking at me off at the sides and they're, you know, twap, twap, twap right in the head with arrows. So,
yeah,
well, see, that's the thing, though. Not every class can do that, and I don't usually play classes like rangers. You know, I'm usually a healer, and who do the people come after first?
That's the deal, and that's the thing that would piss you off. There is no healing class in Guild Wars 2.
Why?
How does that work?
Because everybody can heal themselves. Everybody gets a healing ability.
All right, there that's just no stupid. Designated I don't even want to play the game then, really, because healing is what I do. In every single game I play, I heal. And if there's no healing class, there's no point to me playing the game.
Nope, no healing class. I know, and that's what I said. I was like, you know, so I know a lot of people who like to play healers.
You've just lost a potential subscriber in me as well. I also enjoy healing.
Yep, I like being ranged. I like being, I like to be that annoying little person you're not paying attention to until it's too late.
Wow.
Oh my God, I love it. You're carrying around siege craft again. You're carrying around, you know, trebuchets, catapults, rams. There's hot oil, quarry. There are towers. There are keeps. There's massive PvP.
There's hot oil. Are we still talking about MMO here? I'm just not. I'm not really, not really understanding.
And the armor actually covers you. As a girl, my armor covers me.
It's realistic, huh?
Yes, I like it. My boobs aren't hanging out. My ass isn't hanging out. I don't have jiggly bits. No.
That's not fun for me.
That's still fun for you, but I like it because, you know.
Well, you know who else was like that? Warhammer Online is like that. I remember all the armors were very respectful, I think, of women, and they were very, like,
well,
I liked them.
What was it, the witch? The witch was definitely
okay, the witch was the exception. The dark elf
was a sorceress, not a witch.
Get it right.
Whichever one it was, no, she was like a rogue. She was a witch, because there was the witch and then the witch hunter.
Right.
The witch hunter was on the other side.
But the witch hunter, though, I think they were all covered up. It was the dark elves that were, like, wearing super skimpy outfits. Yeah, that was the only exception, I have to say. But in the way that they played the game, at least in the lore and all that, they were badass. Like, they were, like, brides of Cain. So they were, like, brides of some thirsty god. So you didn't really want to screw with them anyways. They'd rip your eyeballs out.
No, and that's exactly what I played, and it was so pretty.
Yeah.
The only thing, the reason why I left that, because I loved it, and I loved the PvP. Mm-hmm. I did not like the in-game PvP, because I didn't like that you only had certain little areas that you could set your...
You have to attack the cities, remember? Do you remember that?
Yeah, you had to attack the cities, but you could only set up your siege in certain areas. Like,
right.
They had designated spots on the ground, and that was it. And I didn't like that. I like to be able to carry mine around and set it wherever the hell I feel like it.
Well, I would agree with that, because if it's in the same areas all the time, then the other place is nowhere to camp.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, corpse camping is never fun in any game.
Unless you're the one doing it.
No, it's not even fun then. There's just no point to it. There's no sport. It's lame.
Well, right. Well, I mean, here's what I used to do. So in Warhammer Online, they had certain outdoor PvP areas that had cap limits. Right, so level caps, right? So if you were at the top of that level cap, you were one of the best ones on that field, right? Everybody else who entered there, you know, they had to deal with whatever gear they had, because it was an outdoor PvP instance, right? Because the indoor ones, they would scale you, but the outdoor ones, they'd leave you the way you were. So what I would do is I got to the highest level Black Orc, and Black Orcs were like, they were like the best tanks in the game, and my buddy was a healer. So I'd sit there, and I'd run up to the Alliance side, because I always played Orcs, and I'd run up to the Alliance side, and my buddy would heal me, and I would sit there, and there were just guys would just attack me. They would just come out of the woodwork to attack me, but they were all, like, lower level, or maybe sometimes they were on par with me. But again, like, I was the best tank in the game, and I had a backup healer, and so eventually they all just die. And the whole time, like, they're just, I got five or six lower levels banging on me, and I'm just hitting the laugh emote over and over and over again while they're just banging. I'm not even attacking them. I'm just letting them bang away at me. I'm just, just laughing as they're hitting me.
Yeah.
It was really demoralizing, but it was hilarious to me. And they would kill and they would die there, and they would come back, and they would die again and come back. And so I can see some and a corpse, same thing with camping a corpse. If somebody's like attacking you, like they started the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
and they just keep coming back for more, then why wouldn't you camp the corpse? I don't understand that. I don't see a problem.
There is that. If you're going to be stupid and keep running back the same way you came the last time and I killed you, then yeah, I'm going to sit there and wait for you. Just because, I mean, it's easy points.
Right.
No, but this game is so pretty. It's got world versus world versus world, because Guild Wars doesn't exactly have, it doesn't have realms.
Right.
Like, you're not sharing one world with different realms. So the world versus world versus world, what I love about that, not only because of the ongoing PvP and the sieges, is because there are no realms. Each world, all three worlds that are fighting, all have the same class. There's none of this going to be, oh, well, so-and-so realm has that overpowered such-and-such. If anybody has an overpowered anything, everybody's going to have that same overpowered bitch. So, I love it. I love that there's going to be none of that. I am noticing that in the lower areas, it doesn't seem that the towns are very populated, but I do see people as I'm out in the world, and the world is pretty massive as I'm exploring.
It's massive.
It's big. It's nice. I like that. No, it's not all instance like Guild Wars, the old Guild Wars was. Like the old Guild Wars, the minute you left the town, it was all instant. This is not. The only things that are going to be instants are the PvP and the storylines for... No, we're talking about Guild Wars 2. Your personal storylines are going to be instanced, but you can take a group or a friend or whoever you want in with you. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
That's weird.
And if if you're a higher level and you've got a friend who joins you, you don't have to restart again. If you go to their lower area, it's going to nuke your points down to theirs.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
I don't think I like that.
I kind of do, because then I don't have to start from scratch, and I don't have, like, four hunters all on the same realm, which I've done before. So.
Now, why would you have four hunters?
Because I had different friends that started at different times, and I was leveling up a certain character with them. And I only played that character when they were online.
Okay. I guess that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to split up. Anyways, I think we're done with MMO chat for the evening.
All right. Let's move on. What are we going to talk about?
Well, actually, first off, I was going to say that the Wreck-It Ralph, I saw a commercial for Wreck-It Ralph the other day.
Uh-huh.
You guys know what that's about, right?
No.
Okay. So Wreck-It Ralph is it's basically like a Disney cartoon that's coming out. And it's about video games, right? So there's this guy named Wreck-It Ralph. He's like the hero of it, and there's like a, and he's kind of facing off against these like all these iconic video game villains, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's also like lots of video game heroes. So basically, I'd heard about a little bit about it. Like I heard all this Wreck-It Ralph's come out, and I didn't really understand that it was about there's like a video game. It was like a Pixar video game movie, right? It was a Pixar movie about video games. So, Pixar always does really great stuff. I mean, I've liked all the last Pixar films. So I'm really excited about the fact that this is going to be coming out pretty soon. Like I said, I just saw a commercial for it on TV the other day. So I'm really excited about it. But I guess neither one of you had ever heard of it. So maybe they're just not doing a good enough job in marketing.
I've seen the ads for it, and it looks really cool. I'm sorry, I'm going to stutter all night tonight. Anyways, I've seen it. I want to see it. It looks kind of cool. I don't understand. Is it actually based off a real game, or is it just a fake game that they've made up?
Wreck-It Ralph is like, he's a character, and he's going through, and he's facing all these different, like, iconic villains, and he meets all these, like, heroes along the way. There's even, like, there's going to be, like, some Halo, like, Master Chief stuff going on in there.
Master Chief!
Yes.
The little girl from the ad is awesome. I love her smart-ass little remarks. She's just hilarious.
Oh, yeah. So there's a, there's that. I like her, but I don't really understand, like, what the storyline is about yet about it, but I know that, like, I just saw the both of them together traveling together through all these, like, different game realms.
Mm-hmm.
So... Actually, I think I'm going to post a, there's a video I'm going to post in the chat. So if you're not in the chat, by the way, you're missing out because there's always cool links coming in. But there you go. So Molly Pop says she thinks it's a fake game they made, but they have cameos from real games.
Okay, so. That's what I was curious about. I guess the main thing that I saw, I saw a lot of things this week. The PlayStation 3 hack. Have y'all heard about that?
Yeah, I heard there's an article about that today, but go ahead and tell us about it.
All right, so I think it was 2 days ago I actually came across this. The PlayStation Network, the latest firmware, has been hacked. LVO decryption keys have been released. Apparently, a group of people got together and just for fun decided to hack the PlayStation after the PSN apocalypse, after they tried to patch the last hack.
They stole all the credit, everybody's credit cards, started charging things.
Yeah, well, now they found the master key to the PS3. This doesn't give them access to credit cards or anything like that, but it does allow them to hack in and pretty much, from what I understand, take any of the games that are on their PS3 or any information, any of the firmware, download it, and re-encrypt it to be played on hacked consoles. I don't know exactly what this is going to mean for the PS3, because I don't exactly understand all of what this means. I'm not up on my hacking.
These are called the LVO keys that were released, basically, mean that going forward, any update that Sony releases can be decrypted.
so that they can actually look at the code and all that. And so basically it enables them, it's the keys to the whole kingdom. So anytime Sony tries to do anything to stop hackers, because these LVO keys have been released and that they can decrypt any kind of coding, any kind of updates that Sony puts out there, it means that whatever steps they take, they can probably be easily circumvented.
So you think this is going to push Sony to release the PS4 earlier?
No.
Weren't we looking at like a late 2013 or early 2014 release?
No, I don't think that's going to be the case at all. No, because, I mean, the point is they still have to buy the hardware. People want to play the games, still have to buy the hardware. They might be able to rip the games off of the internet. I mean, that's possible. But at the end of the day, I don't think that a lot of people are going to be doing that. So it doesn't mean, I mean, why would they push the release forward when they still have a console that still sells games and still sells hardware?
Yeah, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it until the console starts losing money, and then they'll be pushing for the other one to come out.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, is with these kind of hacks and with them going, you know they're going to be all over the internet.
They're not losing money, though.
But like Blaster said, if they are able to download the games and put them on the internet and share them amongst each other, and then play them on each other's hacked consoles.
As overpriced as their games are, whoever buys it legally will make up the difference.
Right. I mean, I don't think, I mean, they can already do that now. I'm just saying there's lots of things. Like, okay, so for instance, Sony tried to plug a hole where basically people could put any operating system they wanted on there, right? That doesn't really affect Sony's sales. It doesn't affect their game sales, nor does it affect their hardware sales. It's annoying for Sony because for some reason, I don't really know what the whole deal is, why they didn't want people doing that, but Sony tried to plug a hole, basically, tried to stop something from happening on their own console, and they were not able to do so. And this is going to basically mean that Sony no longer has the control over what goes in their console and what doesn't. People can do whatever they want and treat it just like a PC. And maybe that's scary to some consoles. I mean, coming from the PC space and a person who's a PC gamer, I see that as really cool. I don't see why any company would be totally scared about it. I mean, I'm sure there are reasons why, but for me, I don't understand it coming from the PC space.
Well, Microsoft's trying to lock theirs down with Windows 8.
Well, that's because Microsoft still charges for their online service. It's ridiculous. And they put ads up there, too. There's been a lot of people complaining about the fact that Microsoft has so many freaking ads on their consoles splash page. You know what I'm saying? The Microsoft not store, but what do they call that? The consoles setting page. They have so many ads on there, and they charge money for their network, and yet you're bombarded with advertisements. I think that's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
The dashboard. Thank you, Molly. Can't think. My brain's not working tonight. Dashboard.
Oh, speaking of dashboards, the Xbox 360, the new dashboard. I hate that thing. I hate it. I hate it with a passion. Whoever's idea that was should be strung up, like put over a big munching flower and left, because, oh my God, I hate that thing.
Well, what's so bad about it?
It's hard to navigate. Of course, Facebook and Twitter are hidden, which, I didn't use Facebook and Twitter in the first place. But it is. It's too many choices, too many clicks, and if you're not careful, you end up scrolling through the menus you didn't mean to, and it's just a whole big ordeal.
Right.
And like I said, I kept getting kicked off today, and I really think it's the storms in the area, but at the same time, I had some friends I was playing Black Ops with that were having also the same issues. Just randomly, we'd be kicked off the network, and it would tell us that we didn't have Xbox Live Gold, which is bullshit, because we all did, because we'd just been playing together. And it was just ridiculous. I don't know what's going on with their update, and I wouldn't have done it had I, not done the Saturday thing. But
again, the fact that you are charged for a service that is giving you problems like that. I mean, I would think that with a service that charges you money, they would be a little bit better with quality control.
You think, but
I mean,
no.
When Steam goes down, I can't really complain too much, right? Because I don't really pay for it. I mean, I can complain because I want to have access to my games, but they're usually up within 24 hours, right?
Yeah.
But if you're paying for that service and they're having all these issues and stuff, I don't understand why you shouldn't get a refund. Personally, I would ask for one, but that's just me.
Oh, that would be nice. I didn't even think about that. I just, screamed at the screen a couple of times, and it was annoying. It was very annoying. I would run the – because it would tell me that I wasn't able to connect to my network, but then I'd run the network test, and it would connect to the network, but it wouldn't connect to Xbox Live.
Hmm.
It was...
That's odd.
It was just being a pain in my ass. I was a little bit irritated.
Speaking of, did you guys, we were talking about this before the show, talking about consoles, the Wii U.
Selling for a loss.
What's up with that? Now, I had heard back when Xbox was first released that the Xbox units were being sold at a loss, and I just thought that was, I didn't really believe that, personally. Like, I didn't believe the story about that. But I guess this is for real. So I guess what is the point of selling a console for a loss? Like, I don't understand. I thought that they're in the money making business, console manufacturers. What do you guys think about that? I don't understand like what the purpose of that would be.
The point is publicity, and you need exposure. If you get somebody with a Wii U, they buy it at a loss, they start to like it, their friend starts to play it, and then a little while down the road, the prices go up again, the friend still wants it, they buy it at the actual price instead of at a loss. That's all it is. It's a marketing scheme. It's a business decision. Does it mean that they're not doing well? Not necessarily. I mean, come on, it's Nintendo. Of course they're doing well. It's just a way to get their console to have more exposure. That's all.
I kind of agree with that. Corey and I discussed this when we first started hearing about the Wii U, I guess 2 years ago, and they were talking about that they were going to release it for the same price they did as the Wii, which was, what, $350, something like that, when they released it. And we said then that there was no way that that was going to be able to be the actual price, not with the new controller. The hardware that goes into that new controller alone is going to bump up the price by at least $150, $200. So that they are marking it down to be competitive, I guess, and like Snow said, to get it out there, advertising, yeah, they're going to end up having to sell it at a loss.
It's really hard to sell a console that no one's buying, so no one has word of mouth. Even though you have all of this advertising, you have all of this, these outlets for, you know, commercials or whatnot, it's word of mouth that really sells stuff. If someone tells you that something sucks, you are less likely to buy it if it's someone that you know and someone that you trust.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So I guess, yeah, so I had heard PlayStation. I think they sold that still for a profit, if I'm not mistaken. I think that console was sold always at a profit. Like, I never heard anything about
that. Yeah, I want to say the PlayStation 3, when it first went out, was what, $650, something like that?
They claimed it was being sold at a loss. Do you remember that?
That was before me, so...
They claimed it was being sold at a loss. So I guess my other question then would be, is it possible to sell a console for a profit nowadays, or is it just expected that all consoles coming forward would be sold at a loss?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, Nintendo, I kind of expected them to do this. So I don't know if this is a good comparison across the board.
Okay.
I mean, Nintendo is the family console. It's the kiddie console. Even if the new Wii U is supposed to be comparable to the Xbox and the PS3 with graphics and such, and processing power, all this. But because it is the gateway drug to gaming,
right,
it doesn't surprise me that the price is going to be lower. If you're the gateway drug, you're not going to, you know, charge the high-end fees. No, you're going to be peddling it for whatever low price you can get to get everybody in on that horse and get them addicted.
Right. Well, I don't know. I mean, coming from the PC space, so the biggest complaint people always have with PCs is that they're so freaking expensive, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I spent a lot of money on my PC, but yet I really enjoy it. I think if a console manufacturer is going to put out a console that I'm going to want to play, you know, if they put, like, I mean, I was one of the first people to buy the PlayStation 3, but I still paid like $450 for it. I was still one of the earlier adopters on it because I really wanted to play the system. You know, and it was, and at the time, I think the Xbox 360 was either comparable in price or was cheaper at the time. So I had a choice, but because I really wanted to play it, I paid the extra money for it. So I think that, I mean, I believe that, you know, if a console's good enough, you can sell it for a you can still sell it for a profit. Or you can't, I mean, you can't, like, you know, you can't what do you call it? You can't put it, you know, get greedy with it, but you can at least sell it for a profit. I don't think game companies have to do this. So I'm just surprised, especially with how good the Wii did, that the Wii U wouldn't at least be selling for some small profit.
Oh, and that's something else that Corey and Molly Pop, by the way, we love you, Molly Pop. In the chat room mentioned is that, who is it? Different retailers who are offering the Wii U. The pre-orders are already sold out. You can't get a pre-order for the Wii U anymore. So even if it's selling at a loss, Nintendo is going to be raking it in.
Well, you think that's why Nintendo's, because Nintendo's put out a lot of DSs recently. Like, you know, the 3DS came out, and then they had
Oh, God, I know. They have, what, like four or five different types of DSs now?
Yeah, and I bet you those are selling for a profit. They've got to be.
I would assume so. Everybody's snapping those up.
Yeah.
I mean, because I was at Walmart the other day, and they had, like, a whole case, just a case of nothing but the DSs, different types of DSs. The Slims,
wow.
the you know, the Blacks, the Whites, the all sorts of different ones that were coming out. It was crazy.
Wow. So also, well, the other thing I was going to talk about is there was a, you know, there's some late. By the way, speaking of like some of the some hard times, because you know, right now it's kind of hard to justify paying for a you know a fully priced console $600.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear about Turbine has laid off a bunch of developers?
I did hear about that. That's you know, and this always happens. At least it seems to. Everybody starts laying off right before the holidays, and I don't understand that because isn't that supposed to be like the time of year to make money? Holidays?
Yeah, well, don't get. I mean, I buy a lot of video games, especially around Christmas. I mean, there's a lot of online sales. You know, a lot of the online stores do special sales around Christmas time. You can go into GameStop; they got all kinds of deals too going on. So you'd think that studios, especially you know, again, just the human component, right? The fact that you know we're all you know, I don't think anybody wants to see anybody suffer, especially around the holidays. You'd think that companies at least hold on through the new year to see what the sales were like for the holidays. I don't understand this. I mean, and on top of that, you know, I work in the software business, right? So I make software. Thankfully, I don't work in the video game. Software industry because I don't think I'd be employed right now. There are always constantly layoffs going on. I don't know why if you're a developer and you have any talent, why you would even think about you know going into the video game industry. I mean, let me just ask you that hypothetical question. If you had a choice, you know, Ginger and Snow, about whether you would, if you were a developer and you had you know mad development skills, would you go for an industry that is constantly laying off developers every year or two, or would you go into an industry that has steady work and you could stay employed at a company for 10, 20 years and make decent money?
I don't know. That's a hard decision because I mean, we're seeing a lot of layoffs. But we are also seeing a lot of companies hiring. It just seems like the market seems to just roam across the globe. I mean, I know here we're seeing layoffs. Australia, they're like, all right, hey, we had all the layoffs last year, but now we're taking people back. Come here. What was it, 2 years ago, it was Canada that was taking people from Europe? So I don't know. If you like to move around, if you like to switch jobs, if you don't want to stay in a steady job where you're somewhere for 20 years, hey, then maybe this is for you. But no, if you want a nice, steady job that you know is never going to be going anywhere, no, don't go into the gaming field.
Right. I don't know. What do you think? Snow, what do you think?
It depends on your point of view. If all you're interested in is money, then, yeah, go for the steady job. But if you want to try to make something, if your dream was making a game, if your dream was being involved in something, making a game, you know, even a small part of it, then do the game. I mean, it's money you can find. You can find another job. It's not easy. No, it's going to be hard. But it's just like people who go become an actress or a musician or something like that. It's going to be hard, yeah, but if that's your dream, do it.
Right.
It all depends on your point of view. Do I think it's something I would do? Probably not, but I have no skills in development at all. I can't even figure out Blender for Mesh and Second Life. So,
girl,
you know,
I would
go for something steady just because I have no skill in it. But if I was good at it, if I knew that I could contribute something good to a game, then I would probably do it because it would be a dream of mine to have something of mine represented in a game, even if all I did was make a rock.
Yeah, I feel you. If it's your dream, if it's your passion, that's what you're passionate about, then that's what you should follow.
All right. Well, I have a family support, right? And so a lot of, you know, to me it's not so much, I mean, passion plays into it, definitely. But to me, I would never want to go into an industry where I couldn't be confident that I could always put, give my family the best that they possibly could have and I could always put food on the table. Like, to me, that's just it's a non-starter. I mean, even if I had all these years and years and years of video game programming, right, and I had all these great references and stuff like that, I would still, at this point in time, especially with the way the economy is, I would not be looking for a video game job. And so that to me,
that to me, all these layoffs, I think, is taking talent, is stealing talent away from this industry, right? I mean, we as gamers, we enjoy really, you know, good games. We enjoy games with great stories, great gameplay, great functionality, great graphics. I mean, we want the top, the best. We want the best, right? For and so, to me, as a gamer, seeing all these layoffs, it makes me wonder about, you know, the future of games. Like, what kind of games are we going to get coming down the road? Right? Are we going to get good games, or because all this talent is being lost because of the way the economy is and the way the studios are being, right? Are we gonna you know, in the future, are games going to really suck? And that's kind of like what I see. I mean, I know maybe I'm thinking too much into it. Maybe I'm like, you know, panicking or, you know, playing the Chicken Little here. But I don't know. I feel like game studios should. Okay, let me just say this. I have read a lot of books about software development. One of the big books about out there is about the Toyota Way. Talks about in software development, you know, during the recession time, Toyota was one of the few companies that didn't lay off anybody. Instead, they took all their workers and they put them back through schooling and they trained them and they made them better at, you know, manufacturing. So whenever there was a bump back in the auto industry, Toyota was ready. They didn't have to go back through this massive rehire process to get all these employees back that they had lost, except for 6 or 7 or 8 months and had their skills deteriorate. They had a workforce that was ready to get back and attack. And that's why Toyota is still one of the top sellers, right? So you take that and apply that to the video game industry. If a company like EA or a big company like that can instead of laying people off, can actually put some money away and prepare for, you know, the dips that happen in this industry, and they can keep skilled employees employed, you know, then that's just going to mean better games. That means they're going to be in a position to whenever the dips become bumps for them to take advantage of that. And so I see companies like Turbine and stuff that they're doing. I just feel like they're doing it all wrong. I mean, maybe, I don't know, but. Well, Corey says sometimes I'm brilliant. You know, that's not really I'm reading from the chat. That's not really a compliment, Corey. It's kind of like a backhanded compliment. Just saying. But go ahead. Sorry, Ginger. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, something that I'm curious about, because I know a lot of Turbine's games are going free to play. Do you think that has anything to do with it at all, losing their subscriber base?
Oh, sure. I mean, like, you know, we always joke about Sony, right?
Yeah.
Sony's like where games go to die, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's where MMOs go to die, right? So, I mean, yeah, part of that definitely is. But here's the thing: I think that the games might be bad for various reasons, right? They may not be attracting. Players for different reasons, right? And part of that may be because these game companies aren't maintaining good talent. I mean, maybe the one guy that was going to turn that, you know, MMO around, was going to make it more, you know, more popular than WoW, happened to get laid off last year because Turbine hit a bump in the road and they weren't ready for it.
And we're all tired of the copycat MMOs. I don't want to kill rats anymore. I don't want to be a dork. Give me anything.
I'm tired of the spiders. Think of something different to put in a fucking game.
Yes. Oh,
don't know what
God,
else
yes.
to put. There's no pandas in there.
How about pandas? Pandas are different.
No, no, you slapped a fucking hat on a panda and you called it a race. No.
Hey, I happen to like that. It makes me laugh.
Aww. But, I mean, honestly, Fallen Earth, I would still play Fallen Earth. I'd play Fallen Earth like mad if the social system was better. That game
right.
is fucking awesome, but their social system is so fucking bad. And if any of you guys are listening, I'm so sorry. I love I really do. Your game's amazing. It's so ahead of its time. It's unreal. But your social system sucks.
Right. Well, that was like Warhammer for me. Like Warhammer Online. Like, okay, so I know it's orcs. I know it's dwarves. Okay, I know that's all the same, right? Par for the course.
That was
right?
Another really, really lonely MMO.
It was a lonely MMO. That was like that's my whole thing. Like, I love the universe. I love the fiction. I mean, I'm sitting here surrounded by Black Library books, right? I mean, I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. And I love the PvP in that game, right? But there were some fundamental bugs, and there were some flaws and some fundamental bugs in that game. I mean, I literally, they had done a spring event, like, you know how World of Warcraft does, like, all these different seasonal events. They had done a spring event. They had, like, a special spring instance, right? That thing was buggy as hell. Like, you could skip four of the bosses just by running up one side of the hill and, like, kind of back and forth until you push past the invisible barriers, right? And there's all these different exploits. In fact, every time they came out with a new dungeon, within a week or two, there would be a video online of somebody showing you how to bypass three or four of the bosses to get to the one you wanted, right? And so people would queue up, and so you could never finish the instance. You could never kill the bosses in the order you're supposed to, and so you couldn't get the achievements. You couldn't get the drops that you wanted for it, and it was a pain in the butt. And on top of that,
And there were some fundamental flaws with the whole PvP. And PvP was great, but it was just too much PvP, right? I mean, it was like the main cities were getting, especially if you were on a server that was heavily either, it was heavily either order or it was heavy chaos, right? Then it, depending on which one you were, if you were on the other end of that, your main capital city was getting sieged like every other week, right? And then when that happens, like
that stuff
shuts down. It sucks. Yeah, stuff just starts shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just sucks if you're on the other side of that. And that was the big problem. I mean, I remember eventually, like really towards the end of that, I would sit. It was another, you know, one of those events, right, where there was something special going on for some seasonal thing. And I remember sitting forever waiting to try to get a group together. I mean, I sat for like 3 hours, never got one group in 3 hours. That doesn't happen in World of Warcraft. That doesn't happen in other MMOs. And so I knew it was over by then. And I had to cancel my subscription. And I hate it because when I think back on it, that was some of the best times I had in the MMO, was playing that game. So you know, I don't know, you know.
Me and my longtime MMO partner were talking about that. What games do we miss? What kind of games would we go back and play again?
Right.
And that was one of them, Warhammer. The social, and that's the main thing is he follows me around games. I bounce around games like crazy. Dark Age of Camelot held me the longest ever. I was there for like 6 years, something like that. It was nuts. Warhammer, I loved. I really, really did. And if the social system hadn't been so horrible, if I hadn't felt like I needed a group to run dungeons, like literally needed to even go into the dungeon, you needed like, what was it, 5-6 people to stand on the little points to go into the dungeon, that annoyed me. So I couldn't like solo or even duo with the dungeon.
Right, but that prevents people from farming it though, right?
It does. But you know, if you've got two people that are good enough and they can go in and just kill, you know, even just the beginning stuff, that's awesome. I like doing that. I like to be challenged.
Right.
And so many of these MMO nowadays are taking out all the challenge. And they're so boring. And I get bored of them just so quickly. I need to be challenged. I need something to hurt. I need to be able to feel competitive. Like my time is actually valuable in there.
Well, that was some
Otherwise,
of the...
I'll get bored.
Right. Well, that was some of the complaints that people had with... have with, you know, World of Warcraft and all of the expansions that come out with World of Warcraft, right?
Yeah. I didn't even get this last one. I'm not going back. I'm done with World of Warcraft. I'm just done.
Well, I'll tell you this. Here is a damning piece of evidence, I have to say, for the newest expansion. Again, I don't want to turn this into MMO talk, but the most damning piece of evidence I have for the fact that this game just gets easier and easier and easier is the fact that we could do a quote-unquote heroic dungeon. And we could have one guy in our party that didn't make it behind the door before it shut,
mm-hmm.
so he couldn't get into the boss battle, and we were still able to beat it handedly, right, without any problems. It's supposed to be heroic,
yeah.
Right? I mean, and I understand that they changed the terminology for heroic in the game. When you hit 90, every dungeon is quote unquote heroic, but still, mm-hmm. still, I mean, you should not be even a normal mode. If you're down DPS, if you're down one person, one DPS person, you should not be able to beat that boss.
No, not at all. And they've made it so easy. I mean,
right.
We noticed that with Wrath of the Lich King. Again, the person that I play MMOs with is a healer, and I was a hunter, and we'd go into these dungeons with these groups, and they were supposed to be the heroics, and we'd run through that thing in just like 5 minutes. He wouldn't even have to stop and get mana. It was nuts.
Wow. You say mana, I say mana. You say tomato, I say tomato.
Exactly. Exactly, but it got so boring, and I hated that.
Right.
And I wanted to be challenged. I mean, it was to the point I was literally frustrated, and I was angry that I wasn't being challenged anymore. I mean, because I played Aeon for a couple of months, and all right, besides the crafting bot, I was challenged. And to the point of once it got to the end game and the dungeons got to be 8 hours long, I was too challenged. Too
right.
challenged. 2-3 hours, I'm good. 8 hours, count me out. Nope.
Yeah, so there was, you know, but again, I don't want to turn this to MMO chat, so I wanted to actually bring something else up, unless you guys had something.
Nope, go ahead.
So, did you guys hear about the Mass Effect anime that's coming out?
I did not. Tell me about that. Where did I miss that one?
I don't know. So it's called Mass Effect Paragon Lost. It's going to be out on DVD and Blu-ray on December 28th. I don't know how I feel about this. I mean, okay, so I'm an old school nerd, right? So I do kind of like anime sometimes.
Yeah.
But there's been some poorly done anime that I have completely despised, right? I'll tell you, that's based off of video games, or maybe the video game is based off the anime, which is then based off the video game, which is based on the anime. Talking specifically about, there was this Gungrave. I don't know if you ever played that game back in the day. But that was kind of like had an anime look to it, and they came out with an anime for it. And again, I don't know the order. Maybe the anime came first, the game came second. I don't know. But the game was kind of... game was kind of fun, but then I started watching the anime, and I was like, ugh, like, this is painful to watch. So I'm a little bit apprehensive about this upcoming Mass Effect anime, because, again, video games that have been turned into movies haven't really turned out very well. There's been, I can't even think of an exception. I mean, you can't count Batman, because Batman existed before video games, right? Yeah. So I don't think, if you guys can think of any video games that have become movies that were really good, let me know, but I can't think of any. So,
oh, come on. You didn't like Doom?
I did not like Doom. I'm sorry, but The Rock just doesn't do it for me.
That was a joke.
I know. I know. So I can't think of, so I'm a little bit hesitant, right? Because, again, I haven't watched anime in a little while. It's been probably about maybe 2 or 3 years since I've seen an anime, and it had been a long time before that. So I haven't really watched anime a lot, and I love Mass Effect. I love the story. It's a great game. But I'm a little apprehensive about this coming out. But anyway, it's going to be out on Blu-ray.
Corey has a good point. Resident Evil was pretty good, the original one.
Yeah, I have to give her credit. The original one was pretty good.
The other, it did not need a sequel, though.
Silent Hill was not good. Do not even put Silent Hill out there, Corey. She's trying to say Silent Hill, but that's not correct. Yes, Resident Evil was good. I do not agree about the Silent Hill one. But then right after that, it went straight down the toilet after that. Like, all the Resident Evil movies since then have been progressively worse until this one is just, like, it's so bad. And I saw a commercial for the new Silent Hill movie coming out, too, and that looks really horrible. I don't know if you guys have seen the commercials for that, too, but...
I don't do horror movies. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't do video game movies anymore. After Super Mario Brothers...
Hey, I kind of like that movie.
Because you probably like John Leguizamo, didn't you? Come on.
Yeah.
You want to get in Luigi's pants.
He's not sexy, but he's awesome. I think he's awesome. I liked him in Tu Wong Fu, so, and I did not want to get in his little panties.
Yeah. So anyways, have you guys got anything you wanted to bring up? Any kind of new story?
Dude, my life has been just totally surrounded around Guild Wars, but I can back away from that. The one thing that I did see this week that kind of... Actually, there were two things, and I don't know... But you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do it, and Corey can stab me later. Barnes & Noble being hacked. Did y'all hear
what
about
happened?
That?
No, what happened with that? No, this is
interesting. I know there are games you can get on your Nook and whatnot, so it is sort of tying with gaming. Yeah, Barnes & Noble was hacked. Credit card information was stolen. All kinds of fun stuff. This came out yesterday. I'm actually trying to find more information on it because I wanted to post a story up about it. So far, they're just saying watch your credit card information, change your passwords. I don't know if this is going to affect those of us who've just only bought books off of the Barnes & Noble store, but that's something to definitely look at.
If you use your credit card information, yes, it will.
And I'm a little bit worried because I want to say my Google information is tied in with my Barnes & Noble stuff.
See, that scares me because now, I don't buy books through Barnes & Noble's website,
uh-huh.
Right? But I do buy, you know how these hacking things go, right? It's like, you know, okay, well, they only stole this, right? And then next week it's like, well, they stole a little bit more than what we first told you, you know? And so I'm a little concerned because I buy a lot of books in the stores. So did they say anything about that?
No, they didn't. And like I said, I'm still trying to find more information on it. It was late yesterday that I was given this. So I'm trying to find... Oh, and my keyboard is messing up. All I know is I got credit card information. I know I did get a thing in my email, which I was trying to pull up.
Mm-hmm.
PIN number, keypad hacked. So that's what they're saying. And this happened apparently Wednesday. They're saying change your passwords. I don't know. If I've only bought books, if I've not bought apps for my Nook,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I should be too worried. But because my Google, I want to say my Google is really tied in. And if my Google is, then so is a lot of other stuff that I'm not going to name because, you know, sneaky hackers. And that worries me. We have so much connected nowadays on our computers.
Right.
All of our accounts. You know, I think my phone account, email accounts, Barnes & Noble's, all sorts of stuff. It's all connected to Google.
Right. And so that's like, so when I hear about stuff coming out, like, okay, so you know Windows 8 coming out, right?
Yeah.
And you know how with Windows 8, how it's very, how like they're talking about all this like marketplace and all this. I mean, they're really trying to get everything integrated. That really concerns me. That concerns me a lot because, in fact, today I just logged on to a site specifically about it was tied into again World of Warcraft, but it was a gaming site where I could like monitor the auction house and things like that. And with the sign in, it's like, okay, you can sign in with any one of these apps below. And there's like Facebook, Twitter, OpenID, like I mean, there was like five or six different things that they would take for login. Right, and that's kind of scary. Or like maybe you've been surfing, or maybe if you're surfing the web, and you know you come to a site that's kind of a little bit not safe for work, you know, and you look down, there's all these social plugins down there, and it's like sign in here. I'm like, I don't want to sign in with my Twitter. I don't want to sign in. I don't want my Facebook friends knowing I was here.
this is very, very true, and I've worried about that sometimes with. I mean, because I've got three different Facebooks because I keep my family all on one. I keep my Second Life crazies all on another, and then I have my gaming folks.
Right.
So I don't want all three of them seeing each other. Though I have noticed, I don't know if you've noticed in your little friends suggestion things for Facebook, I keep getting suggestions from people who are connected to one or the other and shouldn't be seeing each other.
Yeah, I do that. I get that too. And I'm just like, will you stop?
Right.
You're ruining my anonymity over here. Can you stop?
Yes.
Yeah.
Say that again. That's so awesome. That's a pretty word.
What?
Yeah.
Anonymity?
Anonymity.
Anonymity. I cannot say that.
Sea anemones.
I was seeing enemies in Black Ops earlier, and they were seeing me.
Okay. I don't really. Just move on.
So, anyways, but back to Windows 8 real quick, because that is the biggest. It's coming out. I just want you guys to know. It's like just around the corner. Windows 8 Surface tablet's being launched, which shows off the new Windows 8 design. This is the thing that Gabe Newell and a lot of other major video game company heads have been saying is going to be a big problem for gaming.
The apocalypse of the internet.
It's starting, and that's going to. I don't know. I mean, are you guys ready? Do you guys have your bunkers and all of your foodstuffs?
Each of my car has a survival thing in it. Yes.
Because I'm just telling you, it's going to be tomorrow. Is going to be the end of the world. It's going to be, I'm just saying. We're gonna have to go look up those people on what was that show? What was the show? Doomsday Preppers. We're gonna have to find some of those people and hang out at their place.
I have not seen that. I will have to check that out. Definitely would not be if the folks from Walking Dead were alive or were real people, I wouldn't be looking them up. They're stupid. They're things. I don't know.
Right. I don't know. Like I said, Molly was asking in the chat room. She says she feels like she's the only one that is really turned off by the design of Windows 8. Again, I don't think you're alone, Molly. I think there's been a lot of quotes out there from different heads of different companies that are really, really not happy about Windows 8 and the design choices that Windows has done. I don't understand enough about it. I don't even know if these guys got advanced copies or if they're just shooting from the hip. I would hope that they're not shooting from the hip and that they're saying something from some sort of experience, right? But at the same time, it's part of me that hopes they're wrong, but there's a part of me that is kind of afraid they might be right, that Windows 8 might be really bad for gaming. Again, as a PC gamer, it's kind of important to me.
There are enough voices throwing a fit right now that I'm really afraid that they're right. And, it's not just some underground voice, it's not just some sort of hacker group screaming, oh, we won't have our ways to hack, or this, that, or the other. No, it's big people. So I'm a little worried. I don't know. I guess we'll see. But I think Molly's right. It's made for a tablet. It shouldn't be on a PC. And I don't understand why it's like that. So are you saying that the release date's tomorrow, Corey? Because I was actually looking for that, and I couldn't seem to come across that.
The tablet coming out tomorrow, the Surface tablet, which features the bait. And I don't know if it's the actual launch of Windows 8 for the PCs or if it's the launch of Windows 8. I think it's just the tablet. But I haven't really seen enough. I haven't seen it plastered all over the news. So, but anyway, so hold your loved ones tight. Get your foodstuffs ready. Get your ammo.
and gas masks, and hunker down. Tomorrow's D-Day.
And don't let your phones bite you, because you know they're going to come to life. And
that's right.
Zombie phones. Ah, man.
Okay, so Corey did say yes, and Windows 8 is for the tab is coming, and Windows 8 for PC is coming out. So it's both for the tablet is coming out tomorrow, and Windows 8 for the PC is coming out tomorrow. So yeah, D-Day.
Awesome.
Bring it. It'll be just like Left 4 Dead, I'm predicting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, any last news stories?
Looks like Minecraft's the new king of Xbox Live, and I'm trying to actually get the story to open, but my internet is being wonky.
Well, one last thing. Windows 8 for PC is going to be around $50.
Oh, that's not bad.
Well, yeah. You know why it's so cheap? It's going to suck.
Yeah, I'm a little bit afraid of that. You know, Corey pointed something out. You know, it's the odd numbers that have always been good. It's the even ones that are bad, you know.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I think that... I've heard that, right? I've heard that. But I also think that the fact that they're putting it out for only $50, it's got to tell you something, guys.
Yeah.
Something.
There we go. Minecraft Xbox 360 Edition was the top title for the live titles for Xbox Live Arcade this week. So, way to go, Minecraft and Mojang. That is awesome. Mojang? How do you say that?
You say Mojang, I say Mojang.
Anyways, that M company, way to go.
Yep, that's right. So, music's starting up, so that means it's already almost the end of the show.
Yeah,
crazy.
So how about you let me do the close?
Go for it.
Thank you. Like Blaster said, that music means that it is time for the end of the show. Tune in tomorrow to catch the news with Corey and Ginger, and tune in on Tuesday to catch Pixinista, where we are your favorite pixel fashionistas, and yes, we're bitches, and yes, we know, and no, we don't give a flying fuck. Okay, say goodnight, guys.
Good night, guys.
Good night, guys.
And Corey, Pixort never happened.
for you, babe. Looking for you, babe. Searching for you, babe.